With nearly 30% of Palestinians unemployed in Bethlehem and surrounding towns this year, the UK-based charity Friends of the Holy Land is helping to make this Christmas a joyful one for some 450 children under 12 years of age there. The vice chairman of Friends of the Holy Land, Peter Rand, says the charity aims to give the gift of hope to these children in Bethlehem, many of whom are orphans, disabled, or come from very disadvantaged Christian families. Rand explains that families benefiting from the Christmas initiative will receive coupons to purchase food, toys, clothes, and necessities from local Christian vendors, thereby stimulating the local economy and encouraging native Christians whose presence has dwindled to less than 2% to remain in the Holy Land. Well, I asked Peter just how many Bethlehem area families can Friends of the Holy Land touch this Christmas.
We're touching about 150, 175 families, mostly with around about two children. And we're touching them with clothes vouchers, which enable them to be able to get some decent clothes at Christmas, with some food vouchers, which can be cashed in at local Christian-owned shops in the Bethlehem region. That enables them, obviously, to be able to get some staple items which they wouldn't otherwise be able to afford, and also brings benefit to the Christian businesses, about 20 altogether. And then on top of that, we try to provide a little gift for the children, and if necessary, blankets and heaters as well, although that tends to be more for our 90 elderly people that we're supporting also this year.
Just to give us an idea, what is the average salary of both a husband and wife usually working in the Holy Land? How much do people have to live off of?
Well, you know, it varies enormously. The truth is that it's somewhere between 25% and 50% of that which they would earn if they were doing a similar job in Israel. And their costs of living are very much the same. So that gives you a slant in terms of what difficulty a number are under. And then, of course, you must recognize that around 29% on the latest statistics are actually unemployed. So that also is very much the target of those that we are working with.
What makes your program so special, it seems to me, is that these are people that you've actually met, you know them, so many of these kids and their families. So it's a very personal way of helping the Holy Land's local Christians.
I think that's really what the Friends of the Holy Land is all about. We are now 2 years old, and we have set ourselves some very stringent principles whereby we do need to know the names and the backgrounds and any changes in the last 12 months to those backgrounds of the families and the children and the elderly people that we are supporting. So it is extremely focused, and it also means that we can tailor the requirements of what we give them to their particular circumstances, because in some cases we're also helping them to pay their utility bills, because that's another part of our Christmas offering to them, and it has to be tailored to their particular needs.
Well, in fact, you were saying that you are also helping a lot of elderly people, and you're doing all of this through the churches, the local churches, the parish priests, and so on, aren't you?
Yes, we are. We are working very closely with the parish priests in Bet Jala and Bet Sahur and St. Catherine's in Bethlehem. And then this year, we've moved out a little bit to Zababde and Abud, a little Christian village close to Ramallah. So as we grow, we're trying to spread our wings through the Christian population in Palestine.
Another thing that I know you've done, you created a house where women, older women, can gather in Bethlehem, St. Martha's House.
Yes, St. Martha's House is something which is something which was started about 2 years ago now, and is providing facilities for 36 elderly ladies twice a week for them to go in and enjoy two good meals a week, to enjoy social interaction, and also to have some of the little, you know, have their hair done, a bit of pedicure, and a few other little niceties which they wouldn't otherwise have enjoyed. And this year we have just purchased a minibus to be able to ensure that we can collect them from their homes and deliver them back, and control the costs of that. Otherwise, we were having to use taxis and other arrangements that were proving quite expensive. So we're expanding that facility in order to provide facilities for more people, we hope.
Getting back to the children, I was reading that a lot of these kids are orphans or come from really disadvantaged families. Is that right?
Yes, it is. I mean, and those are the ones, of course, that we are targeting. I mean, whether they are maybe abandoned by their families, maybe they are orphaned and living with kind of some relations somewhere. They maybe are physically sick or mentally retarded. We're trying to, say, find those with the greatest need. And that is the challenge, of course, in all of this, because there is so much need amongst the Christian population in the area where we're working in the Bethlehem district at the moment, that it is a question of targeting the most needy to make sure the most needy receive this. And, of course, that will vary because their circumstances will vary from year to year.
What can kids expect under the Christmas tree in Bethlehem this year? I know you were saying that, you know, a lot of these families have different circumstances. But in general, what do you think that the children there in Bethlehem can expect?
We like to believe we can actually give them hope because this is as much a psychological challenge for them with the difficulties and the occupation with which they are under. So by giving them some clothes, which are a treat for them, making sure they've got the right food, and, as I said, giving them a little gift. So, you know, that gift will vary, obviously, depending upon the age of the children and there again the circumstances. But nevertheless, it is all wrapped up by giving them some hope. At a time when the rest of the world, of course, in many instances, is celebrating the birth of our Lord, is celebrating that through the good things of life, in terms of partying, in terms of mixing with friends, being able to travel to see friends. Of course, we recognize that, particularly over in the Bethlehem district, they cannot travel very far. They may have relations elsewhere, but they cannot get to them because of various restrictions. And so they're living very much in an isolated community and don't have that benefit of being able to share the goodwill of this season with their friends and families to the same extent as we can.
Some people might say that in the Holy Land they're better off than the poor in Africa or Asia, and this is a time of economic hardship just about for everybody these days. How important would you say it is to support our brothers and sisters in the Holy Land at this time, at Christmas time especially?
Well, they are the roots of our faith. And with the Christian population having been reduced in the Holy Land down to somewhere between 1% and 2%, depending upon the statistics you read, our main focus is to try to support those Christians who are left and then to give them some hope for the future and some financial support for the future in order to be able to provide some really strong economic base for them to look forward with hope. Which is why we're now in the business of setting up a small candle-making factory in Bethlehem to provide employment. That's why our house repair program not only develops and improves the quality of the houses, but provides employment. And that's why we work with the Christian shops, not just giving out food and clothes. That would be easy to do at Christmas, but actually providing them with coupons where the Christian shop owners get benefit, and that helps employment. And so no one is trying to compare the needs of the poor in different parts of the world. Of course, there are huge challenges in Africa and India and indeed elsewhere. But what makes Bethlehem and the Holy Land so different is that it has this faith base, this faith concern that all of us within the Christian churches have to try to preserve Christianity in the land of our Lord.
I know that the Friends of the Holy Land has become an ecumenical initiative supported also by the Anglican Church. How has your program impacted people in parishes back home who've been supporting it?
I think that we have a long way to go. We have 2,500 Catholic parishes in England and Wales and 15,000 Anglican parishes. We are just scratching the surface. But the fact is that with the support of our Catholic and Anglican hierarchy here in England and Wales, we are making considerable progress. We are doubling our turnover every year at the moment, and that turnover is donations that are coming into us, many from very, very generous individuals, which of course are going straight to the Christians in the Holy Land. So big impact here in England and Wales, but a long, long way to go.
And warmest Christmas greetings there, and thanks to Peter Rand, the Vice Chairman of Friends of the Holy Land. If you'd like to find out more about just what they do, you can log on to www.friendsoftheholyland.org.uk.